Take your Bibles again and turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 19. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 25 down through verse 37. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came thereout blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture said, They shall look on him whom they pierced. Our subject today, the accomplishment of the atonement by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last time we pointed out to you that when our Lord hung on the cross, he took his place as a sinner. You see, God made him to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And our Lord, taking our place as a sinner, became our vicarious substitute, so that when he was crucified, we were crucified with him. Now today, for a few moments, we want to look at the accomplishment of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Either Christ is all that he says he is, or else he's a fake. Either he will do all that he says he will do, or else he's a prevaricator. And either he will accomplish and has accomplished all that he said he would accomplish, or else we have no salvation. But my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is all that he says he is. And he will do all that he says he will do. And anyone and everyone who's ever come to know him finds out that our Lord never fails. He never lets us down. And what he says he will do, he does. And my friend, we can rest assured of this. The Lord God of heaven is absolutely true. Now when my Lord died on the cross, he accomplished the atonement. In other words, he accomplished our redemption. He did not die to make salvation possible, as the vast majority of you believe at this hour. Most of you at this very moment, you believe that Christ died to make salvation possible, and then the rest was up to you. And when you exercised your faith, you got saved, so your salvation is resting upon you and not upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now don't you turn that dial and jump up and down and get angry, because I'm telling you the absolute truth. You need to hear what is going to be said, and I want you to listen very carefully. When my Lord died on the cross, he accomplished the work of atonement, or atoning on our behalf. You see, he became our vicarious substitute. And therefore, like Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, in the accomplishing of the atonement, there are five things that stand out with regard to this great work. First of all, the atonement of Christ provides a covering from sin and shame. Take your Bibles now and follow along with me. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, you find the first picture of the atonement set forth in the entire Bible. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, we find these words, And God unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Here you have the first inkling, an indication of the atonement. You see, God has to have a covering. man stands before God naked, and man's covering is stripped away by the Lord God of heaven, and man stands before God as a naked sinner, and then the Lord God of heaven clothes us with a covering that is acceptable unto him. Now this is salvation, and anything less than this is not the salvation of the Lord God of heaven. In Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10, we find again, this is what it says, because the atonement is a covering from sin and shame. In Isaiah chapter 61 verse 10 we read, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Now notice again, God did it all. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Why? He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Now turn, if you will, to the New Testament. And we find in Romans chapter 4. Look with me for a moment or two. Romans chapter 4, and we find in verse 7, and then verse 23 and 25. The Word of God says to us very clearly these words, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And then in verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Here you have the first aspect of the atonement, of the accomplishment of the atonement. It provides a covering from sin and shame. Now what about you at this hour? What kind of a covering do you have? Is it a covering of baptism? Is it a covering of emotion? Is it a covering of speaking a gibberish, so-called tongues? Is it a covering of joining the church? Is it a covering of a new turning over a new leaf? Is it a covering of trying to keep the law? My friend, those are nothing but old worn-out clothes that ought to be thrown away. And if that's all you have, you still stand before the Lord God of heaven a naked sinner. But the sad thing of it is, unless God opens your heart and shows you who you are and what you are and the judgment you're under, you'll never be saved. And my friend, one of these days, if you remain in that category, you're going to stand before the Lord God of heaven covered with shame, and you're going to stand there clothed yet in your sin and sent to a devil's hell. There is no other covering but the covering that God provides, and he gives it to the sinner absolutely free apart from works. This was the one aspect of the accomplishment of the atonement. Now there was a second aspect. We find also that the atonement provides a shelter from the wrath of God. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 9 and 10, or verses 8 through 10, we read, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now what in the world you have here? Here you have a shelter from the wrath of the Lord God of heaven. Every sinner without Christ is under the judgment and wrath of God Almighty. He that believeth on the Son is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is John chapter 3 and verse 18. In verse 36, you have the same thing, and it says that the wrath of God abides or rests upon the individual. Now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ experientially, my friend, put it down. You are not from under the wrath of God. you are still under God's anger and under God's wrath. And we find the scriptures very plain that when our Lord saves us, these things take place. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and look with me at verses 9 and 10, where the scripture tells us very clearly, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Now notice that. We are delivered from the wrath to come. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we find again, verse 10 or verse 9 and 10, we read, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Now what in the world do you have here? You have here the second aspect of the atonement, and that is this. It is a shelter from the wrath of God. Now, beloved, I want to say to you very kindly, and I want you to listen like you never listened before. One of these days, my Lord's going to judge this world. He's appointed a day in which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. That man is the Lord Jesus Christ. God's going to judge this world. He's going to pour out his wrath upon this world one of these days. And we're a lot closer to it than people realize. The book of the Revelation brings out how he will do it. But I want to say to you very kindly and very emphatically, those of us who are in Christ are not going to go through that wrath. That wrath is being poured out upon the world. But when our Lord died, he died that he might deliver us from the wrath to come. Not only that, every sinner will be under the wrath of God Almighty for all eternity unless that individual trusts the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, we cannot go under the wrath of God again. It's an impossibility. In Holy Spirit conviction, the Lord God of heaven shows us indelibly, writing it upon us in our hearts, what it means to be under his judgment, what it means to be a lawbreaker, what it means to be under his wrath, what it means to have his face turned away from us and to look upon us in anger and in judgment. And then, in conviction, this is brought to us. And in redemption, there comes the reality that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. We are now adopted in God's family. We've been justified in Christ because he has paid our penalty and he has risen from the dead and we are resurrected with him. And my friend, the greatest thing that can happen to us is when the Lord Jesus Christ redeems us, and then we are made the objects of God's affection and love because he adopts us in his family. Now many of you at this hour, some of you listening to me every week, you still believe that you're going to go through the wrath. My friend, this is a misnomer. You are not if you have been truly born again. For God has not appointed us to wrath, the scripture says, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. This is the second aspect of the atonement that Christ accomplished. The third aspect is the satisfying of the demands of the law. In Galatians chapter 3, and we find in verse 10 through 13, the scripture brings this out. Listen to what it says. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." Now skip down to verse 22. "But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Now what in the world are we talking about? We find that when my Lord died on the cross, He satisfied the demands of the law of God. And the result is this, in Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to read it to you very carefully, and I hope you'll follow along with me. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, we read, "For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Many of you out there are trying to keep the law. You go to church every Sunday. You go Sunday morning and Sunday night. You read your Bible. You're trying to keep the law. Well, my friend, you can't keep it. And when you try to keep it, we find very clearly, then you are not under grace. The Scripture is very plain. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Now you quit trying to keep the law. You can't do it. You've never been able to do it. You never shall do it. But my Lord did it. He satisfied the demands of the law. And my friend, He was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, and an heir of God, through Christ. And if you're in Christ today, I want to say to you very kindly, that the law of God has been satisfied in Christ on your behalf. And therefore, you don't have to try to keep it to be saved. My friend, that's the wrong thing to do. The fourth thing about the atonement is this: there was a destruction of Satan's power. Most people don't realize it, but Satan also was judged at the cross. God took away his power, and Satan right now can only do what the Lord God of heaven allows him to do. And then last of all, and I want to spend the last couple of moments on this, here you have the guarantee of our redemption. In John chapter 17, and we find in verse 9 through 12, the Word of God says these words. Listen to it. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Now, what in the world you have here? You have here that the atonement, it sets forth the accomplishment of redemption and the guarantee of redemption. God has a people that He died for. Who they are, we don't know. We preach, whosoever will may come. The only ones that will come are those who are drawn by God the Holy Spirit. The marvelousness of their drawing is set forth every time they come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But my friend, not a one of them will be lost. Not a one for whom Christ died will be lost. And hold your seat now, those that are in hell are lost forever, and it's proof positive that Christ did not die for them. People that tell you that Christ died for everybody don't know what in the world they're talking about. My Lord guaranteed on the cross of Calvary the guarantee of a redemption in behalf of the people for whom He died. Now, are you one of them? You say, "Pastor, I don't know." It's your business to find out. And the only way you can is for you to begin to seek the Lord at this hour. And our Scripture says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found." Call ye upon Him while He is near. And you stumble over this reality, my friend, you better quit your stumbling and you better seek the Lord while you have the opportunity. You have a responsibility, and that is to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And woe be unto you if you don't. Here is what our God did in behalf of us. He accomplished the atonement, and we'll praise His name for all eternity. Oh, I hope you're in that number whom Christ has redeemed. May you find Him even now, as my prayer. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.